Hello, I'm Eamon.
I'm Conrad.
And we are Mega City Film Club. And we are back because we have been to see a recent comic book movie. We've only got one film this time, Conrad, but it's a biggie.
Yes.
And it's one that we would have preferred to have gone and seen together if we weren't separated by an ocean.
Two oceans. Well, no, I guess one. But depending on which direction you're going, it could be one or the other. Anyway, sorry.
So we have got one big film, and we are going to split this discussion for this large movie into two parts. The first part, we're going to give our general impressions, and we are going to stay spoiler-free. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to give you all a huge spoiler warning, and the timestamps will also be in the show notes for this episode, and we'll jump into spoilers for the second part of this movie. Those are the rules, I think, Conrad.
Yes, that sounds right to me.
Okay, so we'll get straight to it, and we will start with...
Film one, Deadpool and Wolverine. Bub.
Indeed. So we start with part one of our discussion. This is Deadpool and Wolverine, directed by Sean Levi, written by Ryan Reynolds, Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick, Zeb Wells, and Sean Levi, starring Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, and, I'm going to say, a dog called Peggy. this is a huge film, a budget of $200 million. It is already past $1 billion, and that is in about 2 weeks,
I think. Like a couple weeks. Certainly a big change from some of the more other recent superhero movies we've seen, which have been like, you know, genre-threatening failures. So it's nice to have a big one again, for sure.
Yeah. So, as I say, we'd like to have gone and seen this film together, but I've now been to see it twice. I went to see it with Susan, and I went to see it again by myself. Tell us about your experience of going to the movie to see this film, Conrad.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I saw it pretty recently. I must admit, just like a couple, like a week or two after release. But still like to a packed crowd, like a lot of folks there just in the middle of the day on Sunday. People were laughing and clapping at the big parts and like all the big reveals and stuff like that. It was actually a really good environment to see that kind of movie, because especially for funnier movies, I think you want to see them with groups of people just to sort of, you know, so everybody's laughing along. I think if you're at a comedy and there's not other people laughing, then it can feel a very strange, dour affair, like a sitcom where they've taken out the laugh track or something like that, you know?
Yeah. This is a great movie to see with a full house. And Absolutely. Judging by the box office, it has been mostly full houses.
Indeed.
For the first 2 weeks. Now, Deadpool in movies, the first two films, I guess you've seen those.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you make of the first two?
I mean, they were a lot of fun. And I think that, like, you know, they're very different from, like, they're like the R-rated, like, superhero movies. I guess that and, like, Logan, I think, you know. And so there's a little bit of, like, oh, like, look at all this violence. Look at all this swearing and stuff like that. That's pretty fun. And, like, madcap action and things. And then doing what I think is the Deadpool thing, and very much the just big vehicles for like Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
Like these movies are like he's clearly got passion for this Deadpool character and likes so much of the stuff that he does, these sort of asides and things like that, that make the movies feel like, despite being kind of big action movies, also feeling like, you know, passion projects or something that's sort of from the heart of a creator, and have all these have these massive, huge in jokes that are constantly peppered throughout, you know, whether it's all these different Ryan Reynolds jokes about the terrible movies that he's been in. This movie has so much inside base, like Hollywood inside baseball and stuff like that. That's like, whoa, like, you know, are we going to get that? Like, you know, 20th Century Fox is a thing. Like, we're just talking about this now, you know, that kind of stuff. But they've always been fun. And like, they're ones that, like, I think we spent, like, set a standard for, like, Yeah, for like are one of those standard bearers for comic book movies, for superhero movies, I think. Just in like, here are movies that are fun with interesting characters that sort of do try to be pretty like fairly true to the comics and stuff like that, while also being action movies that appeal to a wide audience, I guess.
So I went back and I watched the two Deadpools again in between my first and second viewing of the third film. And I think they're great fun. But I think actually it's interesting that the Deadpool movies, I think, do that rare thing. They get better as the series progresses.
I could see that.
You know, like a bit like the Tom Holland Spider-Man and also the Avengers movies, which start pretty good but end up being, you know, building up to a huge climactic film experience. So, Conrad, obviously I've got to ask you, what did you think of Deadpool and Wolverine?
I thought it was real fun. It's a real good movie. Like, you know, spoilers for the end, I guess, but recommended, you know?
Yeah.
I'd say definitely check it out if you haven't. Yeah, like there's some really like great action, a lot of like, you know, I mean, a lot of like I feel like all the movies of the Deadpool movies have sort of not skimped on characterization and stuff like that, of having moments of acting for like Ryan Reynolds, and this one definitely has like one's for Hugh Jackman and stuff like that. You know, a lot of, like there's a fair amount of these two characters just like, I don't know, having like who am I philosophical style arguments basically. And yeah, and then just like, especially if you're, I feel like this movie, I felt like it was specifically made for like our kind of nerd, Eamon, if that yes. makes sense, even if you haven't watched all these movies recently, you've watched them enough that you can see like, you know, there's just all these references, all these like crumbs scattered around for you to pick up. Like, I recognize that. I know what that is. Like, I know what that's a reference to. You can't fool me. Like that kind of stuff that I think was really, really fun and really makes for a crowd pleaser.
It is hilarious, this film. And as you say, there are lots of laughs in a crowded cinema. And if you don't like one gag, there'll be another one along in the next 30 seconds or so, won't there? You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. How about you, Eamon? How did you find Deadpool Wolverine?
Oh, I think this is a tremendous film. This is absolutely tremendous film. I'm going to say, without spoiling the plot, that the sort of multiversal MacGuffin plot is almost irrelevant in a way. This is a film about the comedy and about the action sequences and about some of the other stuff that we'll get to in a moment. It's spoilerish. I thought it was just terrific. Now, we obviously have the return of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Everybody knows. They do explain how they get him into this movie when the character is supposed to be dead already. That leads to a hilarious title credits sequence, which is one of the funniest things. You'll see. And, of course, it also leads inevitably when any superheroes meet, as in classic comic book fashion, there will be a fight between them.
Absolutely, yeah. Misunderstanding fights is a staple of the genre, you know.
Yes. So Deadpool and Wolverine do indeed fight in this movie, but not before. Sorry.
Yeah, but their fight is not a misunderstanding, for the record. Right. They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. And Deadpool very clearly knows what he's doing when he turns to the camera and says to the nerds, get your special sock ready.
Right.
Before we get to the rest of the action sequences, did you enjoy the fight sequences between Deadpool and Wolverine?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the they fight like two or three, like they fight each other like two or three times, I think.
Yeah. And,
you know, I think the big thing is that like it's two immortal dudes fighting, right?
Yes.
And I think it takes advantage of the R rating of the film and stuff like that, so that, you know, they can show Wolverine just stabbing Deadpool in the chest or in the head or something like that, or like Deadpool shooting Wolverine a bunch of times and stuff like that. It's stuff that, like, you know, a challenge sometimes with these movies and with media in general, especially with Wolverine, actually, is that there's a weird disconnect of a character who mainly fights with six knives on his hands in a situation where you can't stab, like where you can't show someone being stabbed, basically. Like it's something that comes up a lot. Like if you watch like X-Men cartoons for kids or stuff like that, where like he's, you know, he'll pop the claws, but he'll probably punch whoever he's actually fighting and stuff like that. Whereas with this, especially because, you know, the characters just sort of shrug it off anyway, because of the regeneration, they can go whole hog in terms of just like, yeah, like I'm just going to, you know, stab you. Yeah, just stab you 20 times or something like that. You know, break your arm with a judo throw that just heals back up automatically and stuff. Less, not as much limb severing as I might have liked in their fights. But then I recognize that due to established Deadpool canon, you can't cut someone's arm off without them having to deal with having a baby arm or something, you know, baby arms or legs for a while. So probably better that they didn't go that route, you know.
Yeah, there was the gags in the first two films about baby hands and baby legs. Yeah, but apart from that, they pretty much both characters fairly instantly heal and regenerate.
Yeah. And so they can go whole hog and have these, like, you know, like what I think is important, or what is cool for those fights, of course, and a bunch of fights, is they've clearly got the big book of Wolverine and Deadpool or Deadpool and Wolverine, like comics, basically, with like, you know, we've got like 10, like, you know, full splash pages of these two guys. So let's try to, like, you know, let's try to have them in these poses at least at one point in the film, you know, and a lot of that stuff, which is really neat.
And I don't think this is too much of a spoiler to say that one of the fight scenes takes place in a car. And I have to ask you, Conrad, do you know why they've got it in for the Honda Odyssey car?
I think it's just I think it's such a – I don't know specifically, but I believe that a Honda Odyssey is, like, if not, like, the most, like, gray, like, common vehicle or something like that. It's right. Just, like, what's something that – the fact that – Deadpool irrationally hates it would be funny because it's such like an inoffensive, like random vehicle. Minivan. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, like, you know, he loves Chimichang because he hates the Honda Odyssey, you know, like these sort of like just some random stuff, basically.
The other thing I'll ask you about just before we switch to the spoiler section is, of course, and again, this is no spoiler, that Hugh Jackman is in the yellow and blue Wolverine costume for a large part of this movie. What did you make of the classic yellow and blue?
I thought it looked great. Like, you know, I remember, I think we actually talked about it on this podcast when they first put out the trailer and stuff. Like, having Wolverine that looks like Wolverine is very exciting for comic nerds, you know, like as much as I try to be, you know, as I can try to be too cool for school or something, like just like, yeah, like have this guy in the iconic superhero suit that we all kind of know him from and stuff like that. That's really neat. You know, I think there is a funny line in the movie where Deadpool talks about the suit, says, like you're dressed like you aren't embarrassed to be a superhero. And I know we've talked about this in the past too, but like, that's like literally what they were in like the year 2000 or whatever. I think it is a great costume. I've got some, like, I do have one or two quibbles, but we should talk about that in the spoiler section. But yeah, like I wonder if you could have sold it in 2000, I guess, when there'd been like one other superhero movie, you know, that here's guys in comic, like that. If you could have comic accurate costumes and have people take it seriously, or not just like, look at these idiots, you know, as opposed to the more like, oh, you like the Matrix? Well, these guys are kind of Matrixy in the leather jumpsuits and stuff that they had at the time. Like that's sort of, it's something that we can never know, of course, but it's sort of an interesting to think about, I guess.
Yeah. I thought they do explain why he's finally in the yellow and blue suit at one point in the film. And with a game without giving it away, I thought that was good writing and worked very well.
Absolutely.
For Wolverine's character. Yeah. It's great stuff. okay, I feel like at this moment I should have the Conrad Space Spinner 2000 air horns, but...
You can put them in post.
Here we go. Guys, spoilers. If you haven't seen the film and you don't want to be spoiled, then this is the time to move to the end of this recording or pause it and come back.
I got to say, I got spoiled and I was bummed about it because there were a couple things that, like, had I seen without knowing it was coming, I would have been way more excited.
Okay, so I think it was fair to say that there were an awful lot of cameos and possible guest appearances teased, and I suspect some of that was a very deliberate sort of misinformation by the studio itself to try and, you know, conceal who was actually going to be in it. This film contains a number of cameos, a number of characters as actors from, let's say, all the non-MCU films.
Yeah, like the Fox Marvel era, basically.
Some of them are hilarious. Some of them are quite scary. Some of them are fan favorites. Who did you like to see, Conrad?
Man, I laughed really hard when it was revealed that Chris Evans was the Human Torch and not Captain America. Like, that was pretty good. And then they ripped my boy's skin off, Eamon. Oh my god! Just all the spoilers. Come on. Yeah.
Chris Evans turns up. He does the superhero landing. Deadpool says he's about to say the thing, and then it turns out the thing he's about to say is flame on. And even Deadpool goes, "Wait, what?"
I had to explain that once I saw it with my brother, and I had to, like, he's like, "So why was he the Human Torch or whatever?" It's like, "Oh, because Chris Evans was in those ones with Jessica Alba or what, you know, and the guy from the Shield, you know."
Like, yeah.
He just did other movies, you know.
So, yes, Chris Evans turns up briefly before the villain rips his skin off. We've also got a sort of – well, we've got – well, let's just say it. We've got, as you mentioned, the first superhero movie in a way, or the first Marvel superhero movie. Mm-hmm. We've got Blade.
Yeah, back. Which is also funny because Ryan Reynolds was in Blade 3. So yes. There's very much – and apparently they hated each other. So that's sort of – and they sort of make jokes about that in the movie. Like
it becomes a joke in the movie, yes.
Yeah.
And also when Wesley Snipes as Blade, says there's only ever going to be one Blade, and Deadpool looks at the camera.
although from what I've heard of the production of the Blade movie, he might in fact be right. I don't know. that's a troubled film, is my understanding at the moment.
Jennifer Garner is back as Elektra.
Yeah, I was really excited to see Jennifer Garner. I'm a huge Jennifer Garner fan, actually. Yeah. I saw Elektra back. I saw that. I saw Daredevil and Elektra. I was a huge fan of Alias back in the day. So her sort of showing up and doing knife things was very exciting.
Very, very exciting. We get X-23 from Logan, the film. Daphne Keene is the actor, makes an appearance as X-23 again. I see that they've now started, I think after the success of the film, they've started to release some pictures of her also in the yellow and blue, which she doesn't wear in the film.
Mm-hmm. But that's interesting.
Publicity photos taken of her in the Wolverine outfit. Great to see her.
Absolutely, yeah. That sort of mirrors the comics, I guess, where the X-23 character sort of taken over as Wolverine now.
Right. And then, of course, we get the fan favorite that never was from a sort of Marvel film that never was. We get Channing Tatum as Rennie Gambit LeBeau.
Rennie LeBeau.
Who is absolutely hilarious, particularly because Deadpool cannot understand a word he says in his Louisiana accent.
Oh, shit. Le Bolo Rouge. he did understand one thing when he asked if he was ready.
Yes. Yes. but a wonderful line that made me laugh out loud in the cinema was when he asked, Deadpool asks Gambit, who's your dialect coach, the Minions?
That's pretty good, yeah.
Pretty good. So we get all these sort of guest appearances. We've got a big bad in the shape of Emma Corrin as Cassandra Nova. We also have some brief sort of X-Men villains that we've seen before. I think sometimes played by different actors, but they're there.
Yeah.
And it's like, sort of, you know.
There's like the Juggernaut who's played by a different actor, but like the version that was played by the guy who's Bulletooth. By Vinnie Jones. It was a different actor, but that same costume and stuff. Pyro comes back from the X-Men movies.
Yes, the same actor, yeah.
Yeah. And I think
we see Toad. I think it's still I've forgotten his name now. What's his guy's the stuntman's name? Ray Park.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, I think Liev Schreiber's back as a Sabretooth for just a second. All that, and a couple other guys, yeah.
Oh, was that Liev Schreiber or was it Tyler Mane?
Him? Oh, no, it might be him. Yeah, that guy. I'm sorry. I got to get my cast list here. Oh,
well,
no.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there's been more than one Sabretooth. There's been certainly more than one Juggernaut, as Deadpool points out in the film. Again, it almost doesn't matter if you don't get all the references, particularly as Deadpool will turn to the camera and actually explain some of them to us as we go along.
Yeah, like I think, you know, he's quick to point out the Cavalrine, the Harry Cavill Wolverine and stuff like that, you know.
Yes, Henry Cavill, who does indeed reload his arms in what's now become his signature move. So it's absolutely wonderful. It's packed with all these fan favorites. Most of them are just absolutely hilarious. The gags, Deadpool's reactions to them is wonderful. He turns to the camera at one point and points out that one of the villains is from Loki season 1, episode 5. Very sort of like nerd culture reference for us. I've got to give us a downer, Conrad, or for you a possible downer, because the villain does mention at one point that she had an amateur magician come through the void.
And
I
know.
Killed him, of course.
Sad, sad alternate universe. Doctor Strange murdered by Cassandra Nova. Ah, oh, geez. Hopefully just one of those jerks left over from Multiverse of Madness, you know.
Right, like, right. Not Doctor Strange Prime that, you know, obviously cannot be killed.
No, he's in the sacred timeline, you know. Not killed in a way that counts, you know.
Right.
Not one of those long-term kills, you know.
While we mention the sacred timeline, there's the Time Variance Authority, and Matthew McFadyen is having a sort of moment after the success of the TV show Succession, plays a sort of middle management bureaucratic bad guy, as Deadpool says, another British bad guy.
Right.
In fact, both the baddies are British as ever. We provide all the best villains, Conrad.
You know, listen, it's a, you know, you can't trust these Brits. There's something dark in their souls. We all know it.
What did you think of the performances of the two baddies?
I thought Matthew McFadyen, I thought Matthew McFadyen as Mr. Paradox was really good, kind of doing the like everything's nice and I'm very friendly, but then suddenly, you know, things turn sinister and stuff. And then after that, I thought his like frustration and being like a cowardly lick spittle and stuff was really good. Like, you know, ultra spoilers, like the part at the end of the movie where he thinks Deadpool and Wolverine are dead and is trying to like avoid getting in trouble by doing like a those men were heroes and they really like trying to do like the final speech of the movie basically, and then they come back and he's like fuck like that. I thought that was really good, a really great performance.
And while we talk about performances, Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds again are just fantastic, aren't they?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And that's what I say. Emma Corrin's also really great as this, like, you know, as this British villain, like very, very like sort of what we're looking for with British villains, where they sort of like, you know, draw you in or are very nice or seem like so like sickeningly sweet or something like that. And then there's like so sinister as well, that kind of stuff.
the special effect that she does to represent her power, or rather the film does to represent her power, where she literally has her hands inside people's heads.
Is, just sort of rippling around, like you're sort of like you're in a pool and just sort of like feeling like the jet from the hot tub or something, but it's like your brain. Yeah.
It's really creepy and extremely well done. Very disturbing. I found that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really horrible when it happens. Our two leads, as I say, Ryan Reynolds just seems born to play Deadpool and just gets funnier with each film. He's terrific. And, of course, he also gets to play an alternate version of Deadpool. He gets to play Nicepool as well, mm-hmm. who also breaks the fourth wall in one hilarious moment as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that went over real well. Like literally this morning after, or the morning after we watched the movie, my brother just texted me the proposal, you know.
And then, of course, Hugh Jackman at 55, getting back into Wolverine shape again, looking absolutely perfect as the character. He does get his top off at one moment, which is extremely funny.
Oh, yeah.
The subject of a couple of good gags.
I'm glad he only had to do it for one or two scenes, though, if just because, like, I know that when you're that, like, for him to be that cut means you're like, you're not like, it's not like just steroids. It's like also like, you know, being dehydrated for a couple days and stuff like that as well.
For 2 days.
Like it is a tough bill, you know, to look that good, to have that many muscles in one place, you know, it's hard to wrangle them all up, you know?
And for the most part, he is concealing those muscles beneath the yellow and blue. And at the end, towards the end of the film, for the final sort of sequences, it's revealed that the yellow and blue costume also has a hood helmet with the classic wings. I don't know what you call them, the helmet wings.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that was always, like, literally, that was always, like, if you would ask me, like, would they, like, why aren't the X-Men wearing costumes? I would say, because I don't know how you make those wings really work in reality, like not drawn on a comic page, because they're great in a comic page, but, like, in reality, they're a little weird, I guess. Deadpool calls them blowjob handles, you know, like, it's tough. Indeed, yes.
Yeah, of course, it's Deadpool. So we get the classic yellow and blue. We get the helmet. We get the wings. We get full-on Wolverine action at the end of the film. In
absolutely. Let's talk about that first. Yeah, they have they do it like old boy style, this big fight that's just sort of moving along a vertical.
Left to right.
Like a 2D vertical track, basically. It goes into a bus and then ends with the iconic, with the super iconic, like jumping out of the bus image and stuff.
Yeah. Now you said you had a couple of quibbles about the yellow and blue.
Like, mainly I would say it's the helmet, I guess. Like, I just really don't like the white eyes in Wolverine's helmet in this one. I think that, like, I don't know. They're fine for Deadpool, I guess. But, like, I don't know. I felt like there were a couple, like, at least, like, one or two scenes where I think they took away from Hugh Jackman's acting, that you couldn't, like, see his eyes in the scene and stuff like that. And even, like, I don't know, eyes within, like, in the mask, I think would have been better than just having, like, the blank white eyes.
Right.
In there.
Right.
I know it's what it is in the comics and stuff like that. Like, I'm aware of all traditions, but like, to me, it didn't look as good as I think it could have, or I don't even know if it would have looked good with eyes in the mask, but I felt like having the white eyes took away from some of the, like, dramatic scenes and stuff like that, to me at least.
Yeah. It works for the fight sequence, the left to right fight sequence. But then after that, get him to take the helmet off so we can see Hugh Jackman's acting.
I mean, I think it's generally, like, listen, everyone talks about this. It's just the challenge of all superhero movies is that masks just, you know, you can't act as much when you're wearing a mask because it takes away your, you know, X amount of your facial features and stuff, where so much of your emotion is kept, you know.
Yeah.
And so while I think it's always, you know, it's always a bold choice and a good choice for them to have the masks on because that's what the characters are, be it Deadpool, Wolverine, Judge Dredd, whatever, like it also does sort of, you know, it's a balance that has to be found, I guess.
Yeah. I will just say that we've had now 25 years of comic book movie joy from Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine, yeah. You know.
Like Deadpool says, we're going to do this till you die.
Yes. They're going to make you do this till you're 90. You. Wonderful stuff. So it is fantastic. We mentioned, of course, the left-to-right fight sequence, which is set to Like a Prayer from Madonna, making that song seem relevant again. This movie is also, on top of the great performances, the great cameos, a gag a minute, it's also got a banging soundtrack, Conrad.
It's almost a musical, honestly. Like,
and all there's plenty of gags about that as well.
Yeah. For Hugh Jackman. Like just all of the, yeah, all of these musical sequences and stuff like that, like, you know, could compete with Joker or whatever that's coming out. But yeah, like, you know, all these often silly, I mean, just like having like the, what is it? Is it NSYNC or back? One of them.
It's NSYNC,
one of them,
yeah.
Yeah, NSYNC, Bye 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 fight sequence at the start. All these like different ones. And yeah, you know, it's really fun. That just to kind of, because like, you know, it makes it lighthearted and just like these, like, you know, as a longtime Guardians of the Galaxy fan, like, you know, pick an era, find like five songs from it and just put them in the action sequence of your superhero movie. It's not a bad choice, you know?
It works. It works. We love it. Yeah. Any favorite cameos or appearances in this movie?
I mean, like I said, I really like Jennifer Garner coming back, but I think the best one for me was just, or one that I really liked was just when the Legion of Deadpools shows up, and it's not a celebrity cameo, but there's just a lot of Deadpools out there, you know, as a UK adjacent person, the fact that there was both a Scottish and a Welsh Deadpool, both very exciting, you know.
Scottish pool and Welsh pool, yes.
There must be an Irish one mixed in there somewhere. I gotta think, so don't show it, you know.
There's an army of Deadpool variants. Did you have a favorite Deadpool variant?
I mean,
obviously it's Deadpool Prime, but you know,
right.
apart from the
floating skull was pretty solid, I think, with the flying beanie and stuff.
Yeah. Headpool.
Yeah. Headpool, yeah. And then yeah, I did like Welsh Pool, I think, if just because he was so, like he's the one I kept finding in the crowd of kind of being like, well, that guy's just got the Welsh flag on him. That's a whole thing.
And as far as I know, that is one of Ryan Reynolds' stunt doubles, who is actually Welsh.
So interesting. Nice.
Yeah. I mentioned Blake Lively voices Lady Deadpool.
Absolutely.
But also, she was great. I'm going to take us back to the ugliest dog in Britain, known as Peggy, who plays Mary Poppins, a.k.a. Dogpool, in this film, and is possibly my favorite.
Absolutely. No, Dogpool puts in a great performance. And, you know, Ryan Reynolds' willing scene partner, like, lets that dog get all up in his face with her gross tongue and stuff like that. Like, they're making out in this movie, like, fully. Like, you know, like, he makes a joke about an intimacy coordinator with Cassandra Nova, but I think like there must have been one on set for when he was with the dog also.
Yeah, absolutely. The bloopers that I've seen from that sequence is very funny because Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman are both finding it very difficult to keep a straight face while the dog goes to work on Deadpool's face. And
then, they're like friends. Like there's tongue to tongue in there. It's tough. Yeah. It's a bold choice, Eamon. The bold acting choice.
I'm glad to see that Peggy the dog has also been making some red carpet appearances again with Ryan Reynolds, and that relationship appears to be just as solid off camera as, you know, on screen, as it were.
You know, it's always sweet when actors build relationships like that, like on screen and take it off screen. You know, I wish them all the best.
Yeah. Any other favorite moments or gags or needle drops in this film, Conrad?
I mean, I really like they didn't do it a ton, but I thought it was really neat just sort of having a younger Logan like talk to X-23, I guess. I think that was like, it wasn't a huge part of the movie, but I thought that stuff was really good. You know, we kind of talked about it, but I thought Channing Tatum was really funny as Gambit. And, you know, that they did the full, like, the full comic accurate Gambit costume with, like, the French accent and stuff like that was always really good. I love when Channing Tatum showed, like, he's done in a couple of movies where he just sort of shows up for a silly cameo. And I thought that was really good. And then... Well, I think some of it was just when they would go to like to the limbo verse and stuff, just all the random things scattered around the landscape and things, like especially like, you know, they fight in front of the big 20th Century Fox logo, you know. They there's all these like wrecked like big props from previous movies and things. They're all pretty fun.
Paul Rudd is not in this movie, but it does lead to a very funny Paul Rudd gag from Deadpool as well.
His corpses at least. Yeah. How about you, Eamon? Favorite parts, favorite moments? What's sticking with you?
I loved it all. But, you know, I found myself perhaps slightly less interested in the fights between Deadpool and Wolverine once it's established that they can't kill each other. But
that is super fair. Yeah. I mean, I feel like they did at least like they do try to mix it up, I guess, because they sort of have like the initial, like, we've got to do this just because it's what it says on the box, you know? Yeah. And then like, you know, when they fight in the car, like that sort of adds like, I don't want to say car stuff, but like that sort of like that they're fighting in this very cramped environment and like using pieces of the car in fight, you know, they're choking each other with seat belts and throwing each other through like the roof of the thing and stuff like that, I think is interesting.
Yeah, and last laugh for the Honda Odyssey that after that beating still goes, still drives.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, solid.
That's a solid vehicle, that is, yeah. I mean, I loved it all. I thought it was terrific. I've been to see it again. I think you're absolutely right. I think the scene between Logan and X-23 where they're sitting on the log is a great moment. I think Hugh Jackman is just so good at portraying the sort of pain of Logan, who has
absolutely
lost so many people. Yeah, I think that's really great. I'm going to say that this film does not need any help from us, Conrad, as it passes $1 billion in the first couple of weeks, and that there is a chance that they will be making Hugh Jackman do this till he's 90.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more just like, you know, it's fun. It's just fun to talk about, just to kind of have like, you know, this is a movie that I think I talked about before. You know, if you don't really follow superhero stuff or whatever, it's good. But if you are into that kind of stuff and you're picking up all these references and all that kind of stuff, then it's got an extra level for you. And I think that's really like makes it a really fun ride and something that is fun to like talk about. Like, oh, did you notice this? Or whoa, what happened when this happened and stuff? That is really great.
Yeah. So absolutely loved it. Loved all the cameos. Loved seeing all the different versions of Wolverine as well, including a couple of classic, at least one classic X-Men cover from, I think, X-Men. Well, I know it's X-Men 251.
All right.
Classic cover. I've got it in the garage, Conrad.
Fantastic.
So it's great stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else before I turn off the spoiler button?
I mean, I would say, yeah, like... Listen, if you're like listening to like, you know, maybe you're listening to the Mega City Book Club and you only like 2000 AD and British comics, that's fine. Listen, but if you're a comic book person more generally and enjoy your superheroes and stuff and have been sort of, you know, paying attention to it vaguely for the last, 25 years, literally, like this is a movie that has stuff for you and like keeps you laughing and keeps you having things that are sort of like that you'll recognize and enjoy. It's a real fun movie and a real kind of love letter to that, this sort of pre-MCU or non-MCU era of superhero films, I think.
Yeah. Lovely gag from Deadpool when he says to Logan, you're joining, well, welcome to the MCU. You're joining at a bit of a low point. And however, they've now kickstarted it.
Nice pool's been shown to be like, I think they've gone from strength to strength after Endgame. It's like, you idiots.
Okay. Well, welcome back if you followed the timestamps in the show notes and you're joining us after the spoiler section. We're just going to do very quickly our recommendations. Like I say, Conrad, this film doesn't need any help from us, but it is, I'm going to guess, absolutely solid recommendation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Top. I mean, certainly the best superhero movie of the year, I'd say. And one of the best ones I've seen in a long time. It's real good. Like, definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's absolutely up there with Avengers Endgame and Spider-Man No Way Home for me. And if you get a chance, I would say see this with an audience because it's a great ride. You know, the audience is having a good time and you'll have a good time. This is a funny film.
Absolutely. No, it's, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent stuff. So that is Deadpool and Wolverine. We've got some other trips to the cinema planned. Coming up, I know we've got The Crow, which we could cover. Mm-hmm. Venom Part 3, which might mean I have to watch the first two Venom movies.
Yeah, similar boat, I must admit.
Also, Joker Folie à Deux is coming out in a couple of months, I think. So yes. The current Megacity Film Club strand will return at some point in the next month or two once we've been to see some more movies.
Absolutely.
We've also got plans for later in the year if the Kraven the Hunter film ever does come out. We're still thinking it's this year, aren't we?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think it's moved to December now. So,
oh, is it? Yes, that's right.
That's what, like, I just looked it up. It's now. Yeah, it's saying December 13th, I guess. So
right. Okay.
Who knows?
That might be our Christmas episode. And, of course, for the Mega City Film Club, we have the retro movie strand, which I particularly enjoy. We are hoping soon to have a return to the world of Mad Max. And if I can make the recording schedules work, we might also be taking a trip into space, Conrad.
Nice. Listen, space is a good place to die. In space, no one can hear you die hard, Eamon. We all know it.
There's a clue. So we've got some films to talk about coming up as ever. But as always, if you've got any suggestions for Mega City Film Club, particularly retro movies that you can connect to British comics in any way, then mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. Great stuff. So until then, you can find us at megacitybookclub.com and at
spacespinner2000.com. Listen, show's on hiatus, I'm not going to lie, but we will be back. I've got episodes. There's things coming along. 1994 will not defeat me. It's going to happen. All right, I promise.
And we've got to talk about a return of Conrad to Mega City Book Club. And I've also got to get Fox on again because I've got a book planned with him as well. But that's
exciting.
Yeah, that's all had to happen in the future. So basically, that's it. Go and see Deadpool and Wolverine. Join us again when we've been to see some more movies, plus some of our retro movies that are coming up.
Absolutely.
And come and contact us on our various websites and emails.
Yeah, why not? Come on. What do you got to lose?
What could possibly go wrong?
Absolutely. Whatever. Come on. Break the fourth wall with us. It'll be good.
Until next time, I'm Eamon.
I'm Conrad.
And we have been
Mega City Film Club.